You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Man, this has been a really, really fun show tonight. A very diverse show. Talking some vinyl. Joe Tutino, longtime play-by-play guy in Major League Soccer since 96 with the Galaxy. Incredible stories from Pablo Mastroianni. And now we're going to bring on a great longtime friend of mine. Has done an amazing job building the program, the women's soccer program at Texas A&M. And we're going to talk some college soccer right now and kind of what's the climate here. Obviously, a lot of it's hypothetical. But G. Guerrieri joins us now, Texas A&M's women's coach, one of the top college programs in the country. And he is one of the legendary coaches when it comes to games won and winning percentage. He joins us now. G., how are you?
I'm doing great, Glenn. It's a happy Cinco de Mayo to you.
Yeah, I forgot it was Cinco de Mayo. But, yeah, I've been reminded of that. Apparently, there's a lot of people at a couple of the Mexican sort of restaurants imbibing in some good margaritas. All right, so let's get to A&M and let's get to kind of what's going on here, because I think I want to know what kind of – I'm just thinking, you know, you're running this program. It's a big program to run, big reputation, players coming in and out, players trying to graduate, players that are going to come into the program. The season, talking to the NCAA, athletic directors, other coaches, what's going on right now around the playing of the upcoming season?
Well, right now we're planning to go ahead and make it business as usual. All of our classes, like all the schools in the state, are online for the whole summer. That's for May, June, and July. We're hoping to be able to get our student athletes back on campus, hopefully by July, and then the question kind of comes down to, what happens with the fall. Our chancellor has said that he's hoping to have all of our students, back in classes in some form or fashion, face to face classes this fall in Aggieland, and it'll be just a matter of now how do we manage that, and then how do we manage the start of a season, because, when all of the spring sports got canceled, it also stopped us in our tracks. We had already played a few games in our exhibition season in the spring. Then we left for spring break and we never came back. And so so for us, we got about 6 of our 8 weeks in our off season. For a lot of the teams up north, they didn't get any. And so they haven't had a meaningful training session since October. So one of the buzz phrases that you'll hear, whether it's they're talking about women's football like we are or men's football, the odd-shaped ball, is acclimation period. And how long will it take for student-athletes to acclimate once they get onto campus before you can really start to, get the balls out and play? And, getting people back on campus is going to, in many ways, from what I understand, will be determined by testing and, how often do you test and what happens if someone is, test positive? What do you have to quarantine them for 2 weeks? Where are the medical folks saying that the steps are going to be for all that? Because obviously we don't want anyone to come down with this. I know you've had some friends who have, endured this, mm-hmm. but, from a strictly football sense, if 3 players down the spine of your team come down with it and they're out for 2 weeks, well, that's several games as well. So, we're going to have to have flexibility in the way that we go about testing for it, responding to it, treating people. How will it affect crowds? What will they do in those things? These are all questions that still have to be answered. I know that. President Trump has met with the NCAA as well as MLS and MLB and all those, and they're talking about the return to play protocols. So, I remain optimistic that we're going to be able to go on and get this thing done. But you know, a lot of these decisions, all of these decisions are above my pay grade.
G. Guerrieri talking about the current situation. Texas A&M women's coach. What's the response back with your players? I know you're doing a lot of social media stuff with them. You know, obviously there's got to be varying emotions coming from your squad.
Well, just you put yourself back into your own shoes when you were 19 to 21 years old. And, you know, just change is always hard for any of us. But, you know, not kind of having an idea of what's going on, it's making everybody a little antsy. You know, a few of them are still here in College Station, but, I mean, we're literally, the team has gone home, and we're literally from coast to coast, and, you know, from Mexico to Canada as far as our players. So yeah. There's a lot of different things that they're dealing with. The good thing is that for especially the ones who are here back in Texas and some of the ones in Georgia, and some of the other states are starting to open up. At least now they're able to get out and, you know, kind of stretch their legs again and not have to, you know, just be completely pinned in. I mean, pinning in a highly athletic 20-year-old is, you know, it's going to take some pretty strong rubber bands to keep them in. They're going to have to, get out and do a little bit. And that's what a lot of our players have, that's been the complaint of them. Like, they're wanting to know, the first question is always, when can we come back? When can we come back? But, you know, they want to be around each other. You know, we're coming off of another great year, and they want to get on with it. They're excited about what this year can be for the A&M program.
G. Guerrieri joining us. 750 winning percentage as a coach, which puts him up there amongst the greats in the women's college game. You must have been excited, G, when Breck Shea was acquired by the Houston Dash.
Well, you mean Shea,
I mean,
Groom.
Breck Shea Groom. Well, Breck Shea is from College Station too, so I'm not that
he
bad
is.
Off. But I mean Shea
and Breck,
Groom, who's been
Breck's
on this
got the
show.
Hair that, yeah, he's got the yeah. hair that he could almost try to get in with yeah. Cash sometimes. But
I met the talented Shea Groom, who was on this show, and she's such a fun player to watch. I'm glad she's on the Dash now.
Well, so am I. And I know James, you know, Clarkson was really, really excited about the opportunity to bring her in, and thinks that she's going to fit into the way that he wants to play. And you know, I'm a Dash fan. I want them to do well. I have a lot of respect for what James does and his staff. So having Shea back into Texas is pretty exciting. I think finally they're the fact that they've got an Aggie on the team now will probably show itself a little bit, not just in results, but in the ticket count as far as the people that Shea brings in, because she's an exciting player to watch.
Yeah, I absolutely love the fact that she's been able to define a career in the NWSL, and she came on and kind of documented how once she got to the NWSL, things had to change for her a little bit. But to see a player of her stature that's really technically based perform well in the league, that's got to be refreshing to you, I would assume.
Of course. I mean, she is a reflection of the kind of kids that come through this program. You know, we have several girls. I call them girls. One of my, quote, girls just had a 46th birthday the other day, which doesn't seem right to me because I've been here for a while. But because they're eternally 19 in my head. But Shea is someone who's really has really matured in the league. You know, she played a long time for Vladco, both in Kansas City and in Seattle. You know, she got a call up with Jill Ellis with the full national team in the lead up to the last World Cup, and you know, she had to deal with a couple of injuries last year. But I know that she's excited to be back in Texas and really excited to be to have a Dash jersey on this year. It's just a matter of, you know, they were about to report and then they got the stop just like the Dynamo did. So hopefully we'll take the shackles off and we'll all be able to come back safely.
Yeah. So Phil and Lori Stevenson, part of your staff, UG, you know, what's the typical day like these days? How much interaction do you have with them? How much with the team? What's a typical day for you like now?
Well, for the team, they're just finishing up final exams. So we've been hands off. Well, hands off being we haven't been on a Zoom meeting with them in the last week. We're going to, we'll get back on with them tomorrow. We have our first meeting with them because finals will finish up tomorrow. Phil and Lori are here in town, and we're chatting, often and every day, and then I'm on an NCAA committee that has to do with this return to play protocol. We've got a call coming up this Thursday, the men's and the women's, for this, trying to get it to where college soccer is all on the same page and trying to do the same things and doing the right things for not just the fans, but make sure that our athletes are going to be safe and that we're going to have a meaningful NCAA season ahead.
Yeah. G. Guerrieri joining us, Texas A&M women's coach, and has done such a wonderful job with that program. Just looking ahead, I mean, you would want to start preseason as normal, so your dates are normal. Are you looking like I am as much to what's going on in Europe? The Bundesliga tomorrow has a huge meeting to see if they can actually begin to play on May 15th. They're back practicing, and they actually have guys that are testing positive for the coronavirus, yet there still seems this desire to go ahead and start their league.
Yeah, I know in Germany and I know in England that, I mean, as much as anything, they're kind of looking at the professional leagues as mental health for the rest of the country, just to, so that, they're watching football again and that they're kind of getting themselves back into some sort of normalcy. I think it probably makes the players feel a little bit like gladiators sometimes in the way that goes. And clearly that's not the way that we want, our players to feel here in the States. But, as a player, I know I would have been like, please, just let's go. Let's find a way to get this thing going and, make it safe as you can for me. But, I'm on this earth right now to play football, and let's get it going.
How was your recruiting year?
It's been great. It's been great. We've got some really, really good kids, not just a few from right here in Houston. But we've got four coming in from Houston. We've got a Canadian national teamer coming in. We've got two really, really good players two out of California and one transfer out of California as well. And, we're building on, what we've done in the past. We remain undefeated against all the other schools in Texas for the last 12 years. So, trying to build on that and see if we can win another SEC championship. And, we've now been to 25 NCAA tournaments in a row, which is pretty amazing for what these girls have been able to do year after year, and to step into that pressure every year to be able to perform. So the sky's the limit is the way we look at it. And we just know that this year is going to be, clearly is going to be different than anything else that we've ever experienced. But we're optimistic and hopeful that we are going to experience it, and it'll be a great experience for our fans, but also for my players.
G, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it. Please take care of yourself. Thank you, by the way, for coming down to Houston always and contributing to the Kick Cancer events that the Cy-Fair Dynamos have, and being a part of the Houston soccer community over all these years as well. So thank you very much for that. Have a great night. We'll talk soon.
You bet. And, with our camps being kind of canceled for the summer, I get a chance to come down and be a fan more than ever before. So I'm looking forward to getting down to BBVA and hopefully running into you. So all the best to you and to everyone else there in Houston.
Thank you, G. That does it tonight. Big thank you to Nick Sciarra back in studio. Victor Ariza, always, for his contributions to the show. And everybody out there, please stay safe. And again, a reminder, the real heroes are out front. You know who they are. It's the likes of nurses, doctors, truck drivers, cashiers, caretakers, EMTs. Those are our superheroes. Let's make sure we keep them lifted up. Podcastarena.com, iTunes for the podcast of this show. Tomorrow night, we're on in Austin, 7 Central on Horn FM. Good night, everyone.